Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is great to start a new week of broadcasts. A quick reminder of our Going Global initiative. If you can help support that, it would make a difference to people all over the world, a difference when people most need it. Apologetics, biblical literacy, countering the cults, all of that provided to people not only in the West, but also being provided in languages around the world as our material is in process of being translated and placed into the hands of, again, boots on the ground, as it were, people that most need ammunition to deal with the prosperity preachers in the East, with the cults that are preying on new converts, and much, much more. You can join the Going Global initiative, standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth, in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. So many people already hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up is Andrew. He's listening in Louisville, Kentucky, on the web. Hi, Andrew.
Hank, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Can you hear me okay, sir?
I sure can.
Okay, good. I just want to let you know I enjoy your show. I've only been listening for a while now. My brother actually turned me on to your show through equip.org and your app on the iPhone.
Ah, yes.
He's a Baptist minister, but sometimes I forget he's my brother. But he did turn me on to something good with that, and with your show anyway.
Wonderful.
And what I'd like to talk to you about real quick is I used to be scared to death of all this end times prophecy when I was a child. But as I got older, I started to research it more, learned it. It's rather fascinating, and there's a lot of good things in there, even though there's all this bad stuff they talk about. And one thing I've learned is listening to you is how Israel relates, how modern Israel and the Bible are a little different in their relation to each other. And what I was curious about, my mother-in-law, she is big into, and I'm trying to keep, you know, an even keel with my family, you know, listen to what they have to say, but you got to listen to what I have to say, you know. And what I'm trying to figure out is a lot of these things she talks about, she sees online, reads these books that are written by, I don't know necessarily if it's John Hagee's or people like that, but it's just a lot of the scare tactics, very Hollywood stuff you see online. And what I was curious about, one thing she's talking about is on the 15th of this month, there's supposed to be some kind of resolution brought up by France at the UN that they're going to divide Israel and make, you know, Israel and Palestine two separate states. But I've always been the big kind of impression that Israel is always kind of divided because of the Gaza Strip and where Palestine is and things like that. So I know, basically, if it's not from God's word, it's nonsense. That's one thing that my granddad raised me to believe, that if it wasn't from God's word, and that a Bible was always heavier than a lot of books that are printed, because a Bible carries most weight against any other publication, unless it's, you know, just a book written by a pastor or something like that. But that's one thing I learned from listening to your show as well, that you always got to learn discernment and also learn your Bible better than the book. And just one thing, I know you're probably getting tired of hearing about this kind of stuff, all the Shemitah and blood moons and all that stuff going on right now, but I just wanted to ask if you thought about the whole thing with the UN and coming up on the whole division of Israel and everything.
Yeah, and this will all be over at the end of this month, so I'll be a little tired of it during this month because I'll get question after question after question about it, and then in October, people have short memories and they'll forget all about it. John Hagee will have made his fortune, as will have Jonathan Kahn, in conning people with respect to Shemitah. This is the kind of scheme that uses subtly deceptive reasoning. So at first blush, their arguments appear airtight. On closer examination, the flaws are, as always, exposed. And so these people have twisted Shemitah sophistry into an art form. So the basic idea is that they hold America accountable to the laws of Shemitah, all the while admitting that the law was binding only on ancient Israel. So what they end up doing is talking out of both sides of their mouths. If the mystery of the Shemitah is still in effect, we might well expect that there exists a connection between the Hebrew month of Tishrei and the collapse in the financial realm, like the collapse of the stock market. That's the sentiment held by the Shemitah people. So they're trying to find some kind of coherence between what is happening in modern-day America and harbingers with respect to Israel. And the reason is in their view, America is the new Israel. And what is interesting about this is I find otherwise rational people buying into this nonsense. Once again, James Dobson, he was the primary promoter of Y2K. And now he's promoting Jonathan Kahn and all this nonsense again. And people have short memories, so in October they'll all be scot-free. They'll have promoted their books and their products, and people will have been confused once again, and many people will leave the faith because they won't know what to believe or who to trust. Now, in this particular case, they're basing their sophistry on four blood moons. What a blood moon is a lunar eclipse that occurs when the when the Earth is interposed between the moon and the sun, that ends up casting the shadow of Earth onto the surface of the moon. And so it's called a blood moon because the shadow of total lunar eclipse has a reddish tinge. We're now coming up for the fourth blood moon that takes place. I think it's on the night of the 27th and the 28th. So four total eclipses. This is the fourth of the total, supposedly signifies something very, very significant. And the way that they posture this is they say every 7 years is a Sabbath year or a Shemitah year, and every seventh Shemitah is followed by a year of celebration. In other words, every 49 years has a year of Jubilee, the 50th year. And this Shemitah also has had the four blood moons, all of which occurred on Jewish feast days, which allegedly has not happened in 2,000 years, and therefore this is a very significant tetrad or sequence of four blood moons. But there's nothing unusual about a lunar eclipse taking place at the time of a Jewish festival. Jewish festivals coincide with full moons, and lunar eclipses can occur during full moons. It is therefore inevitable that some Jewish festival dates will correspond with lunar eclipses. What they don't tell you, by the way, is this fits into their little scheme, and we can find patterns wherever we want to find them. But what they don't tell you is nothing significant happened with respect to these lunar events during the Exodus, during the Assyrian captivity, during the Babylonian captivity, during the birth and death of Jesus Christ, during the destruction of Jerusalem and the Second Temple, during the Holocaust. So you take these epic times in Jewish history, and you didn't have a tetrad of blood moons. So what they're doing is they are conveniently associating this with what is going to happen. They have a big tail. In other words, they start At a particular point in time, so they can get in the selling season. They've been doing this for a couple of years now, but now we're finally getting to the date. Now, what's going to happen is the date will come and go, and as I said, nothing is going to happen that corresponds with their mysterious pattern that only they have had the wisdom and the foresight and the prophetic vision from God to be able to give us. So, you know, they'll come up with another book as soon as this book fails, and then sell that book. Instead of the Harbinger and the Shemitah, it'll be something else that sounds novel and interesting, and on it goes. The thing about these guys is that they have been 100% wrong 100% of the time. We forget, who was it, Edgar Wisenhunt? And then who was the other guy? He was so popular, I can't even remember his name anymore. Oh, yeah, Campbell. Harold Camping. I was on Harold Camping on this. People were calling up petrified about Harold Camping. And I was saying nothing was going to happen, and they were pointing out all of the correspondence to the Bible, and then Harold Camping got mad and wrote me, and all of this stuff went on, and I forgot about it. And that's what's going to happen to everybody else. They're going to forget about it. So this is why there's always a cottage industry for the Shemitah peddlers or the... it's what's sad for me, honestly, is not that people in the pews get terrified. I mean, that's obviously sad on one level. But what's really sad on another level is that Christian pastors have been promoting Jonathan Cahn, having him on their radio and their television programs. Even Glenn Beck, by the way, he's a Mormon, but, Cahn doesn't care. It all works out for him. It's the publicity that matters. It's the 15 minutes of fame. It's the peddling of the nonsense. But, what people ought to know is that the biblical language about the moon will be turned to blood is obviously judgment language, and it did pertain to the destruction of ancient cities and civilizations, but these are not celestial events. It's judgment language. So the moon didn't really turn to blood. The stars didn't really fall from the sky. The sun wasn't really darkened. You have to torture Scripture in order to come up with blood moons as literal stellar events. So, again, I hope I don't have to talk about it much more, but please, people, I'm begging you, do not fall for this sophistry, sensationalism, and script torture. All you're doing is falling for the con. Don't do it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Derek, he's listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi.
Hey, greetings, Hank. First of all, I wanted to tell you, I found your material very beneficial, especially your Bible Answer book and Apocalypse Code. What I wanted to know, Hank, is the Bible speaks of Jewish fables in Titus 1:14 and 2 Timothy 4:4. What I wanted to know is, if you believe that when the material and propaganda from Jonathan Cahn, Tim LaHaye, Hagee, the Hebrew Meats, etc., does that material line up with what is described in those verses?
Well, I think on one level it does. I mean, this obviously is something that happened in a historical context, but the principle absolutely applies. What you have here is useless speculations associated with the Hebrew Scriptures. And yes, the speculations of Jonathan Cahn concerning the Shemitah are exactly the sort of storytelling condemned by Paul in his letter to Titus, giving heed to Jewish fables, says Paul, commandments of men who turn from truth. And this is precisely what is happening in the present day. What the whole of Titus is about, the essence of Titus, is that church leaders should be blameless in character, and they should be committed to preaching and defending sound doctrine. Believers of all ages, male, female, slave, free, must behave with love and respect to one another, reflecting the glory of the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so Titus is encouraged by Paul to look forward to the blessed hope, which is not a pre-tribulational rapture, by the way. It is the second appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's encouraging Titus to teach properly, not to get involved in wives' tales, speculation, Shemitah sophistry, but to focus on the truth. Why? Because Paul was so afraid of the wolves that prey on the sheep. They're just so good at it because they come in dressed like sheep. And that's why Paul said, even from among your own number, men will arise, distort truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. I get a bad rap for pointing these things out, but people should be warned to be on their guard. And with Paul, I do it with tears because I've seen the carnage. It is horrible to see a wolf tear apart the sheep. We'll be right back with more answers in just a few moments.
Prayer is the fuel of global missions, and Christians can change the world through prayer. The book Pray for the World is a new tool meant to mobilize immeasurably more prayer among Christians. It utilizes the latest research to help direct Christian prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recently, Time magazine noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that, quote, "change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America," end quote. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Other topics include Putting Race in Biblical Perspective, Two Views on Human Origins, How Christianity Led to the Rise of Modern Science, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. CRI's Going Global initiative will equip Christians in the Global South, including Asia, Africa, Latin America, and Oceania. The Going Global initiative will provide materials on apologetics, biblical literacy, and cults, all in their native language, Mandarin and Spanish in particular. As a thank you for your prayerful and strategic gift today, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Pray for the World. It's a wonderful resource for changing the world through prayer, and one we'll be using at CRI to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A quick reminder that I'm going to be speaking at the Spiritual Life Conference in Rock Hill, South Carolina, this Sunday, September 20th. So that's coming up in just a few days from 3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. And if you want more information, you can call area code 803-327-2009. That's 803-327-2009. 009. You can check this out if you didn't get all that on the web at equip.org as well. Again, all of this taking place this Sunday, and I'm going to be speaking about Islam. The title of my message, Muslim, What You Must Know. Muslim actually is an acronym. I'll be talking about the M, Mohammed, the U. I'm going to be speaking about the unreliable revelations of Islam, predominantly the Quran and the Hadith. I'll also be talking about the various sects within Islam, such as the Sufis and the Sunnis and the Shias, so you kind of get an idea of the differences. I'll be talking about the law of Sharia. You hear a lot about that in the newspaper. Then ISIS or ISIL. And then finally, I'll be talking about the major Muslim doctrinal deviations, which is to say comparing truth and error. And the idea behind this is so you have an idea, a handle on what's going on with the fastest growing religion in the world. It's not Christianity, it's Islam. Again, all of that taking place on Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., I'll also be answering your questions live. Check it out on the web at equip.org or call 803-327-2009. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Preston in Modesto, California, listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Would you be able to tell me a little bit about the Kamar Jahannam? I didn't know it actually existed until I heard about it today, and so I'd kind of like to know a little bit about that.
Yeah, it actually comes from the KJV. It's 1 John 5, verses 7 through 8, which says that there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Now, just listening to those verses, you recognize immediately that they're manifestly orthodox. But this comma or this clause, that's why it's called the comma or clause in the book of John, is clearly not part of John's original epistle. It actually occurs in the margins of half a dozen or so manuscripts, all of which are very, very late. And there's sort of a story behind the story. In 1516, Desiderius Erasmus of Rotterdam, he was at the time the most influential humanist of the Northern Renaissance. He published the very first printed edition of the Greek New Testament, by the way. His translation, which became the primary source for the King James Bible, challenged St. Jerome's Vulgate, which was a translation that had stood the test of time for about 1,000 years. The Vulgate included the comma, but Erasmus did not, because he said, "I find only this about the threefold testimony, spirit, water, and blood." But under a lot of pressure, Erasmus ended up relenting, and therefore in the third edition, he added the three witnesses, quote-unquote, to the text so as not to give anyone an occasion for slander. So while the comma continues on in the King James tradition, most modern translations appropriately omit it. So they either put it in the margin, or they have a notation there so that you recognize that this is really not in the oldest, most reliable manuscript. So what is in the manuscript is, "For there are three that bear record, the spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are as one." The comma Johannium that you referenced that is added is the words heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and these three are one, and there are three that bear witness on earth. Those words do not appear in the oldest, most reliable best manuscripts. And the way that's determined is through what's called the science of textual criticism. So you take the manuscripts and you compare the manuscripts. They all have errors, but they don't have the same errors. So by comparing manuscript with manuscript, you can get back to the autographer or the original. Very much like if I took a piece of paper and I wrote out instructions. Let's say I filled the whole page with writing and then gave those instructions to my wife and kids. Well, and you know, they all made copies of it. They'd all make mistakes, but they wouldn't all make the same mistake. So if I lost the original that I wrote to my wife and kids, and all I had was the copies, I could compare the copies, and because they all have mistakes, but not the same mistakes, I could get back to the original. And that's kind of what the science of textual criticism is all about.
So is this like referring to the Trinity at all?
It is, and the Trinity is communicated aptly throughout the Bible. So what the gloss is, or the interpolation is someone adding something that more explicitly gives the Trinity in this particular passage.
Okay. The reason I was just asking about this was because my friend is a Jehovah's Witness, and so he was saying that the Bible is corrupt because of the comma Johannium. And so, yeah, he was just telling me a little bit about that.
Right, but here's the problem with the Jehovah's Witness. He's saying that the Bible is corrupt because of the comma Johannium, but it's anything but that. What we claim authority for or infallibility of is the autographa or the original writings, not for translations. And what's really interesting is they have a translation called the New World Translation that is fraught with error. In fact, intentional error. In Colossians 1, they add the word other 4 times to the biblical text so that Christ does not become the creator of all things, but he's created by God and then becomes a junior partner in creating everything else or all other things. So they tamper with their own text, and then they have the temerity to blame the Bible for having corruptions. It does not. I mean, the translations that we have are manifestly good, and even where there are glosses or additions by copyists to sort of explain the text more fully, as in a commentary, that's pointed out forthrightly by the modern translator. So you'll find a note in the New King James Version, in the NIV, in the New American Standard Version, et cetera, et cetera. They all make a forthright notation about this. So hardly corrupt, it's correct.
All right. Thanks so much for your help, Hank.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone line, Calixto in Jonesboro, Arkansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Oh, hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I kind of have a question regarding demons in the future. The reason why I was reading here recently, 1 Samuel, the book, and I think I've heard you say, or maybe I've heard someone say that people can't come to the dead and reference Luke, maybe 16, as part of that. But then when I read Samuel the other day for the first time, I encountered the King Saul and the medium story and how Samuel talked to Saul. And another thing that I just had today was that in Acts 16, Paul gets annoyed by the slave who is the slave girl who is a fortune teller. So I guess she was telling the future.
Well, she was pretending to tell the future, as was the witch of Endor in the passage that you cite in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And what's going on there is that she's a fraud. Samuel is brought up not because of the witch. She's terrified when Samuel is brought up. It's in spite of the witch of Endor. And so this is a non-normative event in which the miracle of bringing Samuel from Hades was performed by God himself. This was a sovereign act of God. Only God knows the future, and the beauty is that in Scripture, God reveals the future to his prophets and to his apostles. And what God explains is, I told you these things ahead of time through the mouth of the prophets, so that when they happened, you might believe. So what we have with the Bible is an authoritative, valid text that can't be pawned off to good guessing, luck, or common sense. We can demonstrate the Bible is divine rather than human in origin. But the kind of prophecy that you have in the Bible is not perpetuated in the future. Which is to say, there aren't prophets today that can foretell the future. There are prophets that can foretell prophecy in the sense of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for encouragement, edification, for strengthening the saints. So God, in his sovereign wisdom, withholds the future from us. Because if we knew the future, we wouldn't want to face the future. So he gives us the grace we need each day as we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before we need it. So his grace is sufficient day by day.
Wow, that's so awesome. Hank, I want to thank you, and I appreciate your book. The Complete Answer Man book, and I've been reading through that and appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call and for your kind comments. Remember, when you join us by standing shoulder to shoulder with us, you make all of this possible. When you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute. As many outreach ministries, with your ongoing support and appreciation, be pleased to send you a personalized copy of one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate, or else you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants are also standing by. That number, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. The number is always to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
Mandarin, Spanish, and English are the world's three mega languages. Yet very few resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults are available in Mandarin and Spanish. CRI's Going Global initiative seeks to provide millions of Christians with these much-needed resources in their native languages. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI. and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back in a moment. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past year, American news has been dominated by one story after another of a black man being fatally injured in a confrontation with police. Allegations of racism have followed each case, accompanied by discussions, debates, demonstrations, and disturbances with an intensity unseen since the 1960s. What kind of healing can Christian faith bring to this national divide? Other topics include assessing the church's change of heart about homosexuality. Is it immoral to believe in God? Two views on human origins, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. CRI's Going Global initiative will equip Christians in the Global South with materials on apologetics, Bible literacy, and countering cults, all in their native language, Mandarin and Spanish in particular. We need your prayers and support to accomplish this initiative. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, please call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Ruth. She's listening in Sun City, Arizona on NRB television. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Hank. First of all, I want to thank you for your service. And I want to tell you, I really enjoy your program, watching it on TV. And then, of course, I don't know where I would find you on the radio. But anyways, I have a son and a daughter that are arguing over the fact that my daughter believes that there's going to be both a rapture and the tribulation, and my son is really upset about the fact, and he says, no, I cannot find anything about rapture in the Bible. I can only find tribulation. And it's funny because I was listening to you earlier, and you were talking about rapture, tribulation, as if it's the two in one. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's one way of putting it. I mean, the whole idea is what Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So imagine being in Syria and being one of the 1 million Christians there, and you're facing great tribulation. Many of those Christians have been crucified, beheaded, exiled, tormented. They've lost everything. Or imagine the people that are fleeing Hungary in the present. They are experiencing tribulation. And Jesus points this out. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So what Jesus is pointing us to is the great and glorious truth, the blessed hope of his second appearing. And when he does, he will put all things to right. So what he's asking us to do is to be faithful and fruitful. We will suffer for a short time, but our vindication will be an eternal vindication. And by the way, on a personal note, it gives me a great deal of heart. Every time I speak out on a particular subject, like the Harbinger or Shemitah, it's like I get slapped in the face. There are people that disparage me. There are people that write conspiracy theories about me. Oh, no, it goes. And what I think is all the time, look, whatever I'm doing is temporary. Whether I am being blessed by the Lord or whether things are difficult, at the end, I'm going to stand before him and give an account for what I did while in the flesh. And this is a little bit of a personal story, but this weekend I was with a good friend of mine. He's 51 years old. 3 weeks ago, I was having dinner with him, perfectly healthy as far as he knew. In fact, he was going on a trip to the Middle East, and we're going to get back together again when he got back. So I was having dinner with he and his wife, and we're talking about the great harvest in places like Iraq, where people are coming to faith in Christ. And he was asking me if I would come on one of these trips with him to Iraq, because a lot of the pastors are reading my book, The Apocalypse Code, there. And so we're talking about that. Well, lo and behold, I get a call from his wife just a week or so ago, and he was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer. 70% of his intestines compromised, and for all intents and purposes, he is convinced that he is going home. But he's going home with a great deal of peace. He was talking to his children, laying in his bed. Kathy and I were there, one of our kids as well, and we were listening and just amazed. He was talking about the sovereignty of God. He was mentioning in Acts how Peter was imprisoned and released. James was killed by the sword. And he said, you know, God chooses for some to be released and others he calls home. But God's plan and his tapestry are perfect. And then he told the story about how, a woman is pregnant and there's a little baby in her tummy. And that baby, when it's being born, you know, is crying like crazy. It seems like the doctor's trying to kill the baby. But instead, the doctor's birthing the baby so that baby can come into a whole new realm of existence. And he said to his kids, that's where I'm going, to a whole new realm of existence. So don't shed tears for me. Shed tears because we're going to miss one another, but not for me, because I'm going to be with my Lord. He's able to face his death because he was faithful in his life. And it was a beautiful thing to see. We're so moved by it. And I think that ultimately is the point with respect to the blessed hope of the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't grieve like the rest of men, Paul says, who have no hope, because we know that Jesus died and rose again, and so we know that God will bring with Jesus those who have died or those who have fallen asleep in him. That's our blessed hope. Our blessed hope is not a pre-tribulational rapture. That's a 19th century idea first popularized by John Nelson Darby. And I've often said the fact that it's new doesn't mean it's not true, but we ought to examine it very, very carefully. If this is not something you find in the ancient church, if the great fathers never talked about this, we should be wary of this. But even more, the notion that our bodies are redeemed at a rapture and then the earth is liberated from its bondage to decay 1,007 years later finds no precedent whatsoever in Scripture. Instead, what we know is that the redemption of our bodies goes hand in hand with the liberation of this earth and its bondage to decay. It happens when Jesus appears a second time. So there's no need whatsoever to concoct a secret coming and then a seven-year tribulation in which the Jews who have been herded in the Holy Land are going to be killed. And yet this is very, very popular. I mean, you look at Tim LaHaye, probably the most well-read author in the 20th and 21st centuries combined. He uses biblical monikers like the Day of Israel's Calamity. What he's codifying is what he personally describes as, these are his words, Antichrist's final solution to the Jewish problem. So he says that they're going to go through a nightmarish experience. And the way this works out is he is teaching that 21st century followers of Jesus are going to be miraculously transported to heaven, and during the same period on earth, there's going to be a great tribulation, and the Jews will experience this tribulation of mythic proportions due to the murder of the Messiah by their ancestors. That's the basic idea. But there's no warrant for this biblically whatsoever. There's no reason why Jews in the present are going to suffer for Jews in the past.
My daughter, I should say, is the one that's saying about the rapture. She should just forget about the rapture and just concentrate on the word tribulation?
No, she should concentrate on the word, the great and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the second appearing of Christ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean,
I'm sitting on the fence because I myself, yes, it's true. I've never read anything about the rapture, but yes, I have read it in the Bible about tribulation. So I don't agree with neither one, but I want to settle it between the two so that because my son is really worried that my daughter be believing on something that's not true. That's not in the Bible.
Well, here's what might be helpful to you. In my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, I have an entry that's titled, Will Christians Be in Heaven During a Seven-Year Tribulation on Earth? And in that entry, I go through what is being taught, and then I give all of the reasons why what is being taught does not comport well with Scripture. So certainly there have been great tribulations in the Bible. There was one under the Old Testament Antichrist, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, and there's certainly one that Jesus predicted would happen. Jesus pointed to the one in the Old Testament to prophesy one that would happen when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. So there have been great tribulations, and that certainly the Bible speaks about those. But in general, in this world, as Jesus said, you will have tribulation. And the reason I brought up the Syrians and also my friend is that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a believer, whether you're in Syria or Iraq or in the United States, or you're laying on a deathbed. It's tribulation, but take heart. Christ has overcome the world. And so my point is simply that no matter what we face, we can face it with peace because
exactly.
We know that the Lord is going to
take care of us.
Well, and he's going to resurrect us, and that's the blessed
exactly.
hope. It's not a pre-tribulation rapture.
I don't know what to do tomorrow, you know, in whatever circumstance I should be in tomorrow, that the Lord give me wisdom. Before I forget, so are you going to Iraq?
Well, I probably will.
Good. I'll be praying for you.
Yes.
I have another question. My other daughter, she too is a Christian, is so deadly afraid of this coming up September the 28th because she too, and that's another thing you were talking about earlier on the program about the blood moon. And she is saying not only are we having the fourth blood moon, but there's going to be an asteroid that's supposed to strike the earth. Have you heard anything from any preacher or anything from anybody like that about the asteroid?
Yeah, of course, and that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the broadcast. But look, here's what's going to be beautiful about...
I tuned in late.
Yeah, well, here's what's going to happen is you'll be able to talk to your daughter again October 1st or even the 29th of September. And,
exactly.
And then, you know, she'll find out that once again... the prognosticators were 100% wrong, and this is the one beauty that can come out of it for some people. I've certainly told this story many times on the Bible Answerman broadcast, but in 1999 I published the book, The Millennium Bug Debugged, because everybody's talking about Y2K, and it was supposed to be essentially the time of great tribulation. In fact. People were talking about the pre-tribulational rapture because they were speculating Six-Day War happened in 1967. You add 40 to that, you come up with 2007, subtract 7 years for the seven-year tribulation, then you come up with the magic number of 2000. And so they were predicting all kinds of apocalypses would take place at the turning of the calendar year from 1999 to 2000. And I wrote a book about it saying it wouldn't even be a top 10 news story in the year 2000. And what was beautiful about that is there are many people that bought into the sophistry of Tim LaHaye and John Hagee and all these peddlers of their wares. They're selling their freeze-dried food and their generators. And a lot of those people, they finally realized, wow, you guys have fooled me one too many times. And then they started studying the Bible and they came to a true valuation of things and are no longer led here and there by whims and waves of doctrine. So some good came out of it, and maybe some good will come out of it for your daughter as well. Going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll try to get to you as quickly as possible. If you're dialing in, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. There'll be a short break, and then we'll go right to your calls. So if you're hanging on or calling in, I'll be answering questions for the next hour. Thanks for standing with us. So long for now.
Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support CRI's Going Global initiative, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book, Pray for the World. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's Going Global initiative, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recently, Time magazine noted a number of prominent evangelical churches and leaders who have reversed their positions on homosexuality. Time concluded that, quote, "change is coming to one of the last redoubts of opposition to gay marriage in America," end quote. Is modern evangelicalism on the cusp of embracing a God-ordained civil rights movement or a grotesque error masquerading as reformation? Other topics include putting race in biblical perspective, two views on human origins, how Christianity led to the rise of modern science, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages.
Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.